thought about a lot of directions that we could go in, and I was going to head into Matthew, but something struck me about Joshua. And so Joshua has 24 chapters, so we'll be here for a little while. And the book was written no later than 1200 BC. The dating is a little bit nebulous. The authorship is unknown. We know that Joshua wrote some of it, but there are a couple of events that occurred that were included in the book after Joshua passed away. But we don't need to go into that. That's not important. The genre of the writing, the book is belongs to the category of historical narrative. And the purpose of the book is found in chapter 21, verses 43 to 45. Chapter 43 through 45. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. So the purpose is God keeps his covenants. And the proposition for you today is God kept his promise, his covenant promise to our fathers, Abraham, and that was concerning land, and he'll keep his promise to you regarding the ground. Regarding the ground. That's found in Philippians 1:6. You ever sang this song, "Be also confident"? Be also confident, that's line 2. Be also confident, that's line 3, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. You ever sing that song? Will you sing with me? Will you? Be also confident. Be also confident. Be also confident that he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I was only supposed to do that twice. Be also confident. Be also confident that he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. So God answered the prayer, answered the covenant rather, answered the promise, came through and delivered on the promise. He promised his children, his people, the promised land, the land of Canaan. And he is, the purpose of this book is to demonstrate that he is a covenant-keeping God. But in Philippians 1:6, there is a promise. Philippians 1:6 reads, "And I am sure of this, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." He will perfect that. The end of Psalm 138 says he'll perfect that which concerns you. He's going to finish you. He starts something in your salvation process, and he always finishes. He began the work when you repented and you trusted him savingly. He planted his Holy Spirit in you. which was the earnest money, the down payment, just like in a real estate contract, except he's not the kind of buyer who will come along later, even at the cost of losing whatever was put down, to say, I'm not doing that now. I can't afford to do that now. My circumstance has changed. His circumstance will not change. So just as he was faithful to keep the covenant to our forefathers, he's going to keep the promise that he makes here to you in Philippians 1:6. He's going to finish you. Now, some of you are sitting here today and you're very aware of the fact that you're unfinished. Right? You look in the mirror and you say, whatever that is that I'm seeing in the mirror is not finished. Or it's not looking the way I'd like it to look. The trajectory's not good. That's how I feel. I pass by mirrors and I wish they didn't exist because... But I'm glad of one thing. It's reminding me I'm not likely to be here for a terribly long period of time. I'm starting to see the end product closing in on me. But God is going to finish you. And that's comforting. And so the scripture says, whatever things were written aforetime, which this was, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. So you might have came here today and not had deep down viscerally inside of you the assurance and the belief that God is going to finish me. He's taking me to heaven. There's no two ways about it. And if there's some doubt in your mind, it's because you haven't been meditating in passages like this. That's exactly... Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and if you haven't heard it lately, you don't believe it as much. What's the radio silence about? Is that an amen or not? You know I'm telling you the truth. The more you're away from this book, the less you'll believe it. It is just a fact. Doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been a believer, it matters not. If it was Thursday the last time you were in it, or Friday, it's too much time, period. That goes for me and for you. There was an apprentice. So Moses had an assistant, and the assistant was Joshua. Joshua cut his teeth on a very important project. He was sent on a mission with some spies. He and Caleb and 10 others were part of the 12 spies that were sent to spy out this promised land that was promised. And so we picked that up in Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 32, and then we'll take a look at... verses of chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. Numbers 13, 25 through 32. At the end of the 40 days, they returned. So they were sent out, these 12 spies, and they were sent out for 40 days. They returned from spying out the land. Verse 26, Numbers 13, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, so the first, the 10 spies talk first. And you know how sometimes the negative comes out right away. They couldn't wait to break the news. Hey, there's walled cities there. There's standing armies. There's giants in the land. There's no way we can take this land. But Caleb, verse 30, Numbers 13, quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men rose up to stone them. And there's all kinds of turmoil. Jumping down now to chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the two of the 12 spies that had a positive report, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, verse 7, and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, and they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. And it goes on. But they believed God. They believed his covenant. They believed him. And so now here is this same Joshua, and God is just going to say, next. God does not have indigestions. He doesn't need Rolaids. He's not wondering. He's not wringing his hands, wondering, well, how can I replace such a phenomenal leader such as Moses? I mean, I don't have anybody else on the bench for that. No, he just says, you, next. Let's look at the passage together. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go." You're going to be my next servant. You're going to be my next man on the spot, my next point person. "Now go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." So notice the admonishment, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous." Sometimes, and usually, a flat promise, just knowing that there's a promise in God's word, is not enough to generate the faith. It needs to be declared. It needs to be encouraged, just as I did with Philippians 1:6 with you today. It was in your Bible when you got here, but then some loudmouth got in front of you and said, "Hey, did you see the authority in that verse?" And now, right now, you're thinking somewhat differently about Philippians 1:6. That's what's happening here. He says, verse 6, "Be strong." The Lord's speaking to Joshua, "Be strong." Now, this is a man, Joshua, who's already proven that he's enthusiastic and he is a firm believer. But that was before he had the full mantle put on him. He needs a little encouragement, and he's getting it here in verse 6. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." Now, notice what he does in verse 7. only be strong and very courageous. If you're going to do something for the Lord, you have to do it with all of your might. I told you one time I was driving down the street with Ann's father, with Gary's brother, and he was dying physically, and he almost stopped the car. I don't know where this crybaby stuff comes from. He almost stopped the car. And he said, if you're going to do something, do it now. Because he felt his faculty, I mean, he was experiencing the losing of the power of life and the ability to do things. And he had already started identifying that things aren't happening quite the way that they used to happen. So he's looking at his son-in-law and he's saying, hey, you're going to do something, do it now. That's what's going on here. Only, verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Do it with all your might, because the day is going to come when you can't do it with might. Do it with all your might, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. God is particularly specific. He wants it done the way he wants it done. Notice this verse that you've been quoting perhaps for decades. This book, he's speaking to Joshua, of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This book of the law, you're going to meditate on this book, my Bible, my scripture. And if you do it the way I'm asking you to do it, you're not just going to do it day, and you're not just going to do it night. You're going to do it a little bit in the day and a little bit at night. You're going to touch it more than once. You're going to look into this word because it is God's word. And it's so important that you can't just see it once today. And you're going to prosecute daily. You're going to gain ground every day. I don't want you in neutral. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you do it daily and meditate on it. And why does he say, why didn't he say, just have it in your mind or your heart? Why does he say, in your mouth? He's speaking to the leader, but it applies to us. He's saying, I want it in your mouth because you need to teach it to the people over which you are now in charge. You need to speak it. You need to live it. Then you'll have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong in the Lord, be strong and courageous rather, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, verse 10, verse 11, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Verse 12, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your life, little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession. They were given land on the other side of the water and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Verse 17, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels, verse 18, against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever your command, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. In this book, the Greek word for Jesus, for the Lord is Jesus. It matches the word Joshua, the Hebrew word Joshua. Both of them mean the Lord is salvation. So Joshua is a type of Jesus. And this going into the land to take it is emblematic of what happens when you enter into eternal life. When you trusted Christ and you came to him, you were born again. When you repented and trusted him to be your Savior, and little by little, you began to take ground. Little by little, thoughts were being overcome. Little by little, habits were being changed. Little by little, things you concentrate on were changing. Just as land was being taken gradually, and it didn't happen overnight. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy 7:22, the Lord your God will clear away these nations, speaking again about the prosecution of the taking over of this land of Canaan, the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You may not make an end of them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. They had to populate so that it didn't become barren and out of control. But the point is, it happened little by little, just like your sanctification process is happening little by little. You're to be gaining ground all the time, and you'll help the Lord in this symbiotic relationship by being in his word and complying with it and obeying it, being in it night and day. There are times when I'm not in it night and day, by the way. Some of you know that, maybe. I don't know that you know it. I know, and I know something about you, and I don't have deer cameras at your house, but I know some of you don't. You're not in that book every day either. And don't lie to me with your expression. I know. I'm human like you. But we are to be taking ground, just like the children of Israel were to be taking ground. And the reason it went slowly was not because God was slowing them down. It's because some of them didn't kill all the enemy and left them there. And so they were thorns in their side. And they started to be polluted by the religious practices of those that they were supposed to deal with. And we'll talk about the ethics of cleansing the people out off the land when we get deeper into the book. But because they didn't finish the job, when God said, wipe out this people, and they didn't, they were slowed in the process of taking the land that God had assigned them. I'm going to leave you with this. That key verse in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Expositor says this: it would be hard to believe speaking about meditation, in particular Joshua 1:8, it would be hard to believe in the genuine Christianity of anyone who did not make a practice morning and evening of bringing his soul into contact with this word or a portion of God's word. Whenever an eminent degree of piety has been reached, whenever somebody becomes godly and it's visible, we shall find that an eminently close study of the word has been the practice of that person. Amen. And when we don't see it, we know what it is. When you don't see it in me, you know what it is. See, the problem of being me is I'm standing before you naked, as it were. You are professional viewers. You view things all day long. You've been doing it for decades. I can't hide from you. You can read me like a 70-page book. And the same for you. So let's spur one another on. Our numbers are thinning out. We're dying. However, if we take Joshua 1:8 individually, if you make it, you decide today, you know what? Lord, I believe you're going to finish me, but I also believe you gave me a responsibility to work with you on that. Sanctification is a joint effort between God and you. Lord, I'm going to be more earnest, and I'm going to go deeper in my relationship with you. A wise wag said, if your job is to go deep in God, go deep in your relationship with God, his job is to broaden your ministry. His job is to fill these seats if he wants them filled. Your job is to go deep. And if you go deep, that's success. Success is not numbers. Success is how much like my son do you look like? That's success. So the measure of success is not who's in the seats. The measure of success is how serious have we been, and are we? And are we giving him everything that he wants? Are we giving him our all? Father, thank you so much for Joshua. Lord, as you took that land with them, you encouraged them, you stood by them, and you said, no man will stand against you. And Father, in that same faith, we know that there's no devil, there's no bad habit, there's no indolence, there's no slothfulness, there's nothing in our path that you won't help us remove if we get serious about drawing close to you and working together with you to get that ground that you promised to get for us, the rest of the purchase price, taking us all the way from here to heaven. Help us, Lord, to become practically what you've already made us, positionally, holy. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.